You're listening to the New Old Heads podcast, shot live every Tuesday at twitch.tv/newoldheads and released every Thursday at noon via bringingdowntheband.com. The show is brought to you by Coleman Dental, Printfinity, Indie CD and Vinyl. Support the show directly by becoming a member at patreon.com/newoldheads.
You are now tuned in to the New Old Heads podcast. I am Major 7th. The entire crew is here. Starting off at the end of the table, my man Jay Moore. How are you, sir?
I'd say I'm doing good. But actually, I'm doing well because Superman does good.
Ooh, like that one.
All right.
Keep that one. I like that.
And I think that. Well is the appropriate vernacular there anyways.
Exactly.
Like that. Longevity is the voice you heard. How are you, sir?
I am doing well. How are you?
I'm doing great, man. Saw the head turn on the well.
Well,
yeah, it's nice.
Yes, doing
it's
well.
Proper.
We're being correct on this side of the table.
Yes, yes. Well... Yes, we won't be on this side. My man, DJ J. Div. What's happening, man?
Salutations. How's
everything? Thank you. Good to see you as always, my brother.
Indeed, indeed.
Red August is in the building. I would ask him, but he's giggling. Appreciate you, brother, for everything that you do. Thank you for the on-site production. The chat is live. We appreciate y'all. We see y'all as well. I can actually see the chat on a new setup, so that's dope. So shout out to y'all as always. All right, man, let's go ahead and jump into the rundown. So Super Bowl halftime. I think we all saw it.
I've seen parts of it.
Okay. Well, I enjoyed it. Some of it, maybe a little bit of it. I don't know. Either way.
I've seen a couple clips. I wasn't going to support the NFL and buy Peacock just for one game.
I can respect it.
You know, I just
you knew it was going to be on YouTube or whatever after the fact.
Yeah, I knew we were going to talk about it, but so that's why I watched a couple clips. But
performance was dope. I enjoyed it. OG status, a lot of legends. I like the
West
setup
Coast
too.
In a mug.
West Coast in a mug. Setup was dope. They actually had the I don't know if you want to call it a, I think it's a mural statue, whatever. That's in the city of Compton. They had it at the end of the set or the beginning of the set, going down with all the multiple stages. I enjoyed it, man. I thought it was executed very well.
Was the execution excellent?
It was very it was very excellent. What did you guys think, man? Jay Moore, I'll start with you. What were your takes? What did you take away from it? I enjoyed it overall.
No, I enjoyed it thoroughly. You know, I watched it with a group of people, many of which who were much more excited for the halftime show than the actual football game. Mm. And I thought it was very well done. You know, like... You got to understand the production value is always going to be off the chain. And it's incredible how, you know, they have the short amount of time to get, you know, basically get an entire concert mock-up, if you will,
yep,
onto the stage. Everything has to be set up correctly.
Yeah.
And, you know, every plug has to be for every piece of lighting and the direction has to be on point because, you know, the Super Bowl halftime show can only be like, I think maybe 13 to 14 minutes.
If that,
you know, and so when you think about having that many artists out there who could easily do 13 minutes by themselves, for them to be able to, you know, to get that much in and have it done basically flawlessly. It was very impressive. And also, you know, one of the things that I noticed, and this might just be Dr. Dre's influence, like,
yeah,
I don't know who made sure those speakers were tuned and that mix was done correctly. But,
yeah,
you know, when you watch it over again, it is extra, extra crispy coming out of even your cheapest TV speakers. So
I'm sure he has something to do with that.
You know, I thought it was
the Beast by Dre equalizer.
Yeah. So I know some people were like, oh, they could have done this. I was like, you got to realize. When you're talking about, you know, a performance sponsored by Pepsi,
yeah,
at the Super Bowl, which is the biggest television event of the year, you know, across the entire world, you're going to go with the analytics. Someone's like, oh, Eminem could have done this. He could have done. You had to be a fool to think Eminem was not going to do Lose Yourself.
Come on, man.
I mean, you know, a complete fool.
You know, I was surprised by them letting All Right with Kendrick. I was surprised them getting that off.
He censored it,
though. Yeah, I mean, that was censored. But, you know, I mean, you're going to expect that. I mean, because the thing is, when you think, oh, this is live. Trust me, everything is gone over with a fine tooth comb when you're talking about, you know, a corporate event. Because honestly, it's barely a sporting event at this point. The NFL and the Super Bowl, that is a corporate event. You almost can't get tickets unless you already know somebody.
I don't even want to know what they was hitting for.
I enjoy the show. It's just crazy to think, you know, because I'm old enough to remember when Snoop Dogg was on the cover of Newsweek and it said, is rap too violent? You know, where this dude was public enemy number one.
Yep.
And, you know, now basically this you almost have to understand that for them to get to this point, hip hop, especially this segment of hip hop, where you say, you know, the West Coast sound, if you will, is embraced as Americana. If you will, you know, so, and I know there were people who were like, oh, why didn't do, they could have this. I was like, look, you know, trust me, they'll bring the Who or somebody back or the Rolling Stones. Or,
definitely.
I mean, I'm not to besmirch, you know, those particular artists, but you know, I think they got it right here just because of how long, these people have been relevant within the culture, not just hip hop culture, but American pop culture, you know, and then you talk about, you know, people's like, oh, what's for it? There are going to be these people above the age of 50 who are going to feel this way. If you're 50 years old, this is your music, remember. You know, you were in college or high school. Like, I'm knocking on 44. I was in high school when The Chronic hit. You know, if you were in college when The Chronic hit, you're about 50 right now. You know, so there are people who have grown up with this music and embrace it just the same way. I mean, there was probably somebody 30 or 40 years ago when they said, oh, why are they having Motown or the best of doo-wop or whatever? You know, and the thing is, like, having...
No, they was with that because, I mean,
but Motown, you got to understand, like, you know, if you told somebody we're going to have a rock and roll halftime, remember, rock and roll was outlaw music. This wasn't mainstream. And so now what was considered outlaw music in 1992, 93, this is mainstream music now. When people come in to, you know, the club or whatever, this is what they want to hear.
I think bringing Kendrick is dope also because he's obviously the youngest one there. But everybody that
Kendrick's 30-something years old.
Yeah, and he's the youngest, which is crazy. But everybody on there is legendary status at this point. Kendrick's still the youngest, but, you know, he's established as one of those guys in hip hop.
Yeah,
you know, we already know where Mary is and Dre and 50 and all that. So,
not everybody watching though. A lot of people didn't know a lot of these people.
That could be true.
Which is most of the people you see complaining, like, who are these guys?
Well,
you
know? The same people who ran up in the January 6th ran.
Yeah, for sure.
There's like there's so many. This is not appropriate. I was like, let's not talk about appropriate.
Yeah.
One of the things that I thought about as well is Dr. Dre's tree in hip hop, the branches that come from that. Because if you look at this dude, man, and you see Snoop, 50, Eminem, and it's not like he just had a couple artists that came underneath him. These are mega stars that got an imprint from him early.
Well, everybody that was on stage is a product of Dr. Dre.
Somehow or some way. And
except for Mary.
Mary's hit was
produced by Dr.
Yeah,
Dre.
Except for Dre.
That's Diddy's tree though.
Yeah, that's true.
But still, it speaks volumes as to how cold and how consistent Dr. Dre and his impact has been. We ain't even talking about N.W.A. Like, these are people that came way after that were influenced by him.
This is all Aftermath era stuff.
Exactly.
This is, you know, this is Dre's third act. You know, they didn't
have late 90s.
There's nothing
really.
There's nothing. They didn't touch anything from, you know, the Ruthless era.
No.
Nothing even from the Death Row era.
What did Snoop do? What song did he do?
He did.
Still Dre.
Still Dre.
It was songs that he did with Dre. He didn't actually do any of his own records.
Uh-huh. But he didn't do like any of the like early 90s stuff too.
Nah, they did California Love too.
Okay, that was a Death Row. You know,
yeah, they did.
But that wasn't even his song.
Yeah,
They did do Dre's, the one that Dre did though. That wasn't a Dre beat because the remix is the one Dre produced, right? Or did he produce?
He
both
did
of them?
Both of them.
I did.
Okay,
I thought.
Yeah. I have to look. I'm about to look that up. Double check. But what did you think about it, J-Diff?
I thought it was dope, man. The energy was there. The Super Bowl was on the West Coast. It was only fitting that the halftime show was West Coast in a mug, like I said.
Yep.
It's crazy to think that this is the first time that hip-hop controlled the halftime show for a Super Bowl as long as it's been out. And I think we fail to realize because... I mean, my whole life has been about hip hop, so I don't equate things as being the first until somebody just actually brings it to my attention. Like, this is the first time this has ever happened. It's like, dang, that's crazy. But I thought the representation was there. It was very entertaining. Yeah. And everybody, like, when we talk about who knows who as far as age ranges and things like that, like, my mother-in-law's husband, he knows who Snoop is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But didn't know who Dr. Dre is. So that kind of goes into how Snoop is probably one of the biggest hip-hop artists out there, because it's people ever that don't listen to hip-hop and know exactly who Snoop Dogg is. You know,
Snoop
what I'm
involved
saying?
With some of everything.
Everything. He's getting his bag wherever he can now.
I mean, he's the weed guy too. You know,
yeah.
What I mean?
Yeah. He definitely blazed up before he went up there.
Yeah, I saw that.
And they were like they caught him doing something that he.
Yeah, I mean, for one, he's in California.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so it's been legal in California for a long time, so.
That would be like if somebody said, you know, we caught Jay Moore eating chicken wings.
Oh, my God. Canceled. I can't believe it. But I thought it was really cool that we had the opportunity. I'm saying we, like, I was up there, too. I'm doing my little mama version of the Super Bowl.
If you win, that's what's up.
Yeah. But, nah, it's dope to see them representing on stage like that. But, I have a question to pose for y'all.
Uh-oh.
Because everything seems to be so politically charged, and I've been hearing a lot of people make posts and seeing posts, like, for example, Dr. Cornel West made a post about a missed opportunity that they could have done more.
That came out today.
By performing.
I didn't see it, but.
Yeah, so he said that pretty much that it was a great display of musical talent, culturally, musically. But it was a missed opportunity for telling the truth and challenging the NFL plantation system. Aside from Brother Eminem kneeling, the political silence of our artists was sad. And the reason why I bring that up is because, and I get it, but at the same time, I don't understand why Black artists are always held and put in a position to where we have to make everything a political situation, and we can't just get up there and have fun and do our thing without bringing all this extra into it. So how do y'all feel about, like, should something else have been done, or should anybody have said anything on this stage?
Well, you can't win, because if you look at it from, so Eminem kneeling is what Dr. West, you know, pointed out.
And honestly, I didn't even catch that, because I was paying attention
for
to Dr. Dre playing the piano.
Yeah, Dre got up from the board. They had a SSL board, and he got up and went to the piano, sat down. M was knelt the whole time while he played the piano. Then he hopped up.
But I've heard that he maybe knelt for Tupac, because that's the song that he started playing.
Could be. I mean, it's being received as a shot at the, you know, NFL or whatever.
Right.
But my thing to what Terry asks is, you can't win. I've been Black a long time. You can't win with Black folks, because Beyonce came out and she had the militant vibe when she did the halftime show. What happened? None but Black folks was talking about it. We picked it apart.
Well, it's not
everybody
even necessarily. So I'm gonna approach it at this angle then, because it's not even necessarily just Black folks per se. I feel like, and I see more people applauding what she did than being negative or whatever. It's more, I wouldn't even say it's Black folks, it's more a certain type of Black folk that thinks that every position that you get in, you're supposed to do something.
I'm with that. I'm with that.
It's okay. It's not clear across the board.
Okay.
But what I want to know is, do you think that's right? That every time you're put in a position to where you're on the main stage, mm-hmm. that you need to bring something to light? I mean, because we've literally been bringing stuff to light forever, so, and nothing changes. So are you doing it
changes just real subtle,
kinda?
That's just real subtle,
real subtle. But is it worth it? Like, do you think you should do that every single
that's
time?
That's the question.
That's yeah. That is the question.
That's the question. Right. Is it worth it, and should it be done every time? It's a tough spot, man. And to your point, I didn't think about it like that until you said it about a certain portion of the way you said it like that. I see where you're going now, because I do know that certain portion of people that rock that way. It's a lot, because I've seen it so many times. No matter what it is, it could be the Olympics, it could be the NBA Finals, the Super Bowl halftime. There's always something that's expected above and beyond politically from Black artists, no matter what it is. And I don't necessarily know if that's fair, man, because to piggyback what we were talking about, is it going to be, how is it going to be received, and what type of change will it, I guess, get the ball rolling on to start something? It's not like it's guaranteed for something to change just because it's done at the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that, there's no guarantee that anything is going to have that much of an impact just because more eyes are on it. You know what I'm saying? Jay Moore, what do you think? Like, what do you think about that being cast on some of the black artists?
For some individuals, it's never going to be enough. It doesn't matter what you do.
Yep.
You know, and I think the, you know, because I listened to a commentator today, I believe it was on CNN, you know, because I just go through my clips and try to stay up on what the heartbeat and the pulse of, you know, the culture is. And, you know, they think, well, you know, they were on stage and now we're just distracted. I was like, I don't think I'm distracted at all from the fact that there is a problem with black coaches getting hired. I'm not distracted from the fact that Colin Kaepernick was essentially blackballed from the NFL. Like, I'm not distracted from any of those things. You know, just because this happened over here, it doesn't mean, you know, it's just like, you know, if a squirrel runs by a dog, you know, like that's not how people actually are.
No.
You know, it's still very nuanced. I still have had discussions with people about how when Brian Flores, who was fired as the Dolphins coach with a winning record, mind you,
8-game winning streak.
You know, he was fired and, you know, had he not filed that that lawsuit, I don't think they would have hired either of the black or so-called black coaches in the NFL, you know, because they were going to, Josh McDaniels was going to be the coach of the Texans.
Yeah.
You know, with no coaching experience in NFL or college, just high school. He was going to get pet. And so it was going to make the NFL look extremely bad. Somebody made a call and said, we can't do this and we can't do this now. That's how Lovie Smith got that job in Texas. Like, some people might be able to tell me different, but I know how the winds blow. And because it was going to look really bad if there were 8 openings open in the NFL and none of the openings were allotted to black head coaches, especially when you've got guys like Byron Leftwich, who was the offensive coordinator of the Super Bowl winning team. Got somebody like Eric Bieniemy, who's taken the Kansas City Chiefs as the offensive coordinator to the AFC Championship 4 years in a row. So we're not distracted. We had 13 minutes of just cultural enjoyment.
Yeah.
But you know what? It doesn't, just because we enjoyed ourselves for 13 minutes doesn't mean we don't understand the racial ramifications and the problems that are still systemically within the NFL, which really are just a microcosm of the systemic problems that reach corporate America, you know, our government. All these things are tied together in some kind of way. So let's not go too far in hyperbole of thinking, oh, we're just distracted and y'all just was happy to dance and see Dr. Dre. No, it's not like that.
And there's a group.
I was happy to see.
And Dr. I was Dre. Happy to see. I was, you know, happy. I was happy.
That's what I'm getting at here is you're
we
not
just
allowed
have 13
to have
minutes
fun.
To not go. Not,
you're not allowed
not
to have fun, yeah. Essentially, the way some people write this narrative. It's, yeah, like you have to be charged up and on 10 at all given times, boots to the ground. You cannot have fun. I don't care if you've always wanted to do this and perform at the Super Bowl. You're supposed to say something political. Now, everybody don't want to do that, man. I mean, that's not how everybody's built. Now, I understand there's problems going on out here. There's things that need to be addressed. I think Kendrick performing in itself was enough.
That, yeah.
You know, that's your answer right there.
And Eminem
performed
kneeling.
All
let
right.
The white allies step it up.
Exactly.
You know, they already know how we feel.
Yeah, I think so they did it perfectly fine, in my personal opinion.
That's what I was going to say about, I'm glad you said that about Kendrick, because the people that are saying that must didn't see that part.
No.
You know, because it was subtle, but it was enough. Mm. Off the record that he played, also the record that he performed. But go ahead, Lone, I'm sorry.
No, you're good. I was just going to say, you know, a lot of the stuff could be seen as performative too. I mean, don't forget that Nancy Pelosi was kneeling in dashikis and stuff.
And that was
true.
Yeah.
You know, and all that stuff.
Still,
you know,
got no voting rights act.
Eminem kneeling, what does that really do?
Nothing.
You know what I mean? So, like, and to kind of further your guys' point, just to kind of echo what I would say, is it's not really black people's responsibility to dismantle racism in America. Really kind of the white people's responsibility.
Hey, bada boom, bada bing.
So
there's a section that'll disagree with that.
That's fine.
Probably the section that didn't like the halftime show.
Exactly.
So, but at the same time, don't get me wrong, I think there's a place for black people to contribute in that.
Yeah.
And I think I think it helps it move it along. But at the end of the day, like, you know, black, how you guys feel about Cornel West and all this other stuff, that's none of my business. But what I would say is that I do feel like, you know, I don't know. I've seen the argument talking about Eminem and his kneeling and stuff like that back and forth. And I honestly, I don't even know what to feel about that at all.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't do anything for me personally. I like, does it draw unity? Like this performative unity, like what is he doing outside of stuff that like, he's not challenged. And I'm not trying to put Eminem out there like that.
I appreciate what he did. Yeah.
But
I do
the,
too.
But at the same time, like it is performative still, you know, because he's not really putting himself on the line at all. You know what I mean? Like he's not, it's not, people are still going to listen to Eminem, whether or not he's already talked about Kaepernick.
Oh yeah. There's a lot of people that already tuned him out, but I will say this.
So
if you were bothered, if you were bothered by Eminem kneeling and it wasn't the national anthem, it pretty much just lets us all know it was never about the national anthem.
That was the first thing that came to my mind. I was like, well, he kneeled, but the national anthem wasn't playing. So what's the issue?
And that's been the play.
You triggered those people, it exposed their hypocrisy.
And that's been the banner of the whole movement, the national anthem. Everything is so disrespectful to the national anthem. It was all based off the national anthem.
That had
nothing to do with the national anthem.
I'm happy you said that because that was in the back of my mind when I saw it and I didn't like materialize it into like actual thought, and I was like, but he's just kneeling, like it's just a kneel.
Yeah, that's why I really didn't pick up on it. Like I said, like, when he did it, I'm paying attention to Dre playing the keys.
Yeah, I was like, the thing that went through my mind when I watched, I was like, is he actually playing?
He was playing.
I'm like, yeah, he's playing on top.
And Anderson Paak playing the drums. I'm paying attention to those two things. A lot of people thought
Tupac was about to come out, so they missed that whole kneeling part.
His drums weren't mic'd, but still.
Right.
Look good, though.
Yeah.
You know. He was on time.
Most of the time. Most of the time.
Don't do that long. He was on time.
He was most of the time on time. I had a conversation with somebody about this who is a drummer.
Yeah.
And he talked about it in detail. I was like, because he had some weird things to say about it. Like people, I was like, what do you want? Like they went on stage. None of them were doing lip syncing. They were all rapping.
Yeah.
I was like, you just don't understand hip hop culture. I was like, if they were on stage and they were just like mouthing words and stuff, I'd be like, all right, maybe I would agree with you. But
no. I mean, if y'all
50
saw,
was rapping upside down.
Upside down.
What do you want?
You can't. You just can't please people, man. I've just come to realize.
Just like, oh, I thought it was some mid. I was like,
it's always a one upper that ain't never did nothing in their life.
I was like, you still rap over
exactly
your own
how to do everything.
Please shut up.
50 hanging upside down. the first thing I see the next day is Bizarre from D12. Put his body on 50 Cent.
Everybody was clowning.
And they was clowning him because they was like, man, look how heavy 50 Cent looks hanging upside down.
Everybody does not look the same way that they lived 20 years ago.
And I'm like, what do y'all expect, man? This is a grown man that got multiple TV shows out across the country. He ain't been working three times a week. Yeah, he ain't been in the gym and like he was.
Even if he is in the gym, I mean, naturally you get older and you gain a little weight. Simple as that.
Yeah. Well, it is what it is.
All right, man. Well, overall, they executed it very well. So shout out to them and whoever mad. I don't know. Stay mad, I guess.
Yeah, that's what you're going to do. Stay mad.
All right, man. Mm-hmm. So let's go ahead and jump to this next topic. Shout out to the chat as well. We do see y'all. Thank you for the input. Apparently, the homie Nicole said Anthony Hamilton was putting in some work in the verses that we can't see right now, but shout out to Music Soul Child.
There probably wasn't no point in talking about it, huh?
Man, somebody gonna go back and be like, man, Major 7 did say he was getting smoked. That's all I want.
I can't
have that.
Okay. I'm gonna give you a couple books to read.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it. Are they hard? Are they paperback or are they real big?
No, they're
just a pamphlet, probably.
You can do it while you're working.
Yeah, okay.
Get you an audio book.
Yeah.
All right, man. Let's get to this next topic, man. We've had success and we've had failures as it relates to lists that we covered. Mm-hmm. We've had some really bad.
Last week was a failure.
But
the more I thought about that OK Player list.
You cleaned it up, though. You cleaned it up.
But the more I thought about it, it was a really,
really
bad list.
Shorts.
Like, that's legitimately one of the worst lists I think I've ever read.
In hindsight, it was trash.
Yeah, like
there were big omissions.
Man, Schwartz had no business reviewing Dilla, man.
Okay, we just gonna go ahead.
It was a very avant-garde list. Oh. Like, you know,
that could have hit House Shoes up and would have did a better job.
Absolutely.
Well, I did. You know, people have reached out and said you did your thing with the Dilla knowledge alone, so maybe save some souls out there.
Happy to contribute.
All right, man. So with the month of February, Valentine's Day and all that. All that. They have a Billboard's list of the 21 best hip hop songs of all time. Now, I don't know. I love hip hop songs.
Sir.
I'm sorry. Thank you, sir. I did not. I ain't even look. I wanted to see it when y'all saw it. You know how we do with the list. So I'm just gonna start going through. Y'all tell me how you feel. Nelly featuring Kelly Rowland, Dilemma.
Can't even place it.
You know, was that 21?
It's just that I don't think they have a number.
Okay. All right, well, let's keep. I get why that would be on there.
You with that? Everybody with that?
Yeah. I mean, I get.
Did you share this? It's a crossover hit.
Yeah, I think I put it in there with a Sam Cassell. LL Cool J, Hey Lover featuring Boys and Men. I'm in.
One of the best stalker anthems ever.
Already.
Jay Moore, don't
no. Go
I
back
like Love You Better.
Go back and listen to that song.
Sleeper.
See, it, honestly,
like Kanye West style stalker.
Yeah, or? Like literally, it's like, look, LL, you need to leave that woman and her boyfriend alone.
What's that Netflix show?
That's what you took from that video.
He's like, I'll be looking at my own eyes in the rear view, having dreams about ice cream. Like, come on, fam. Like, that's not your woman.
Having dreams about ice cream.
LL that Cool is what J. Go back and listen to that's the song.
It's LL Cool J out here tripping again.
Yeah, come on now.
It was a good song.
It was a good song, but like as an adult, I go back, I was like, man, LL is really...
Fam was obsessed.
Yeah, 100%. They need to go ahead and get some paperwork on him.
Then at the end, he said he don't even know you.
Yeah.
There you go.
You got too many feelings for somebody you don't know.
Exactly. You went three verses on a woman you thank don't y'all. Know who's already in a healthy relationship.
Thank y'all for bringing me home. LL was on some bull. I didn't even realize until y'all just said that. As a grown man now.
Uh-huh.
So that's a stalker.
Stalker anthem. Beautiful melodies. Yeah. Shout out to Boys to Men.
Well,
ABC, biddy, biddy.
He said he ain't know her.
Biddy,
so.
Biddy.
All right.
Enough LL slander. Let's go.
Yeah.
We love you, LL.
Yeah, we still love you, LL.
I think that's one of the top comments we get is whenever we talk about LL in the slightest bit of he's not the greatest person to walk on earth.
That's facts.
Come out of the woodwork for LL.
Yeah.
I'm the GOAT. The greatest of all time.
Stop. See, that's only getting worse.
All right.
It was some heat on that album.
No, a little bit. Not really. No.
All right.
Next song, though.
Met the Man and Mary J. We know what it is, man. I'll be there for you.
That's probably number one.
Yeah.
I'm not mad at that, Terry, unless I see something that I didn't remember. Snoop and Pharrell, Beautiful.
I like that one.
I'm with that.
Yeah, that's
beautiful.
Thank you.
You know what else Pharrell Snoop song I really love? That Girl.
That Girl off his album, off Pharrell's album. Fire. Yeah. Yep. The live version with the Roots.
Oh yeah.
My goodness. Mac Miller, Anderson .Paak, Dang.
That's fire.
That's fire.
Yeah. That's a dope song.
I'm not mad at that. So far, so good. One More Chance, Remix.
Top five. That's really a love song, though.
That's really,
don't do
it's
this, Jay Moore.
It's really a...
what type of song is that?
It's really go out to the club, see what you can do.
The first Steal Your Girl raps.
Yeah.
Okay.
I wonder if Me and My B is going to be on there.
Oh.
Me and what?
My B.
Okay.
BB.
Just me and my
no, like really,
stop, man.
Because there's a lot of Steal Your Girl, Take Her on Vacation, and Do Nice Things for raps on the radio now, and Biggie's this song One More Chance is really not about a healthy relationship.
Nah,
Biggie might have had healthy thoughts as he wrote the song though.
T-bone steak, cheese, eggs, and Welch's gravy.
Yeah.
It's in a few. Never mind. All right,
next one.
Common Delight, we just talked about.
That's what I was going to say, that one.
That's
definitely a hip-hop love song.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. He's really expressing his feelings for...
And when he was in that trash outfit outside of Old Girl's Window, that's Erykah Badu. The Come Close is hard, but... Come Close, Mary J. Blige.
I like Come Close.
I like that one.
Yeah, I think
come
that's...
Close, he had that crocheted hat on.
He was going
holding up the signs because
that
one video was cold.
I think I'd actually rank that one higher than
me too. Now that I think about you
Come
know,
Close was cold.
As far as love songs,
yeah, it actually ends with him and get you know asking the woman to marry him.
Mary was on the hook too. That song is cold. I would have. That's why I thought about that because you might be able to swap that one out with this one. The Light is dope. I ain't necessarily mad at it. Bonita Applebum, Tribe, no brainer.
What's wrong with that one, Jay Moore?
Who's the stalker on that one?
Is it really a love song?
Is it just more of a lust song?
Lust song?
I just like the way you walk.
Jay Diff?
Yeah.
Lust or love?
Yeah, I can see that.
Either or? Well, you got to pick one.
I'm probably going to go with lust.
Oh.
It's nice to meet you.
All right,
you got to put me on, which means that they're not on yet, right?
So,
did they ever get on in the song?
All right, so the next,
I don't think they did.
I don't think they got on.
So, it's fantasy.
Great record, though. Great record.
Yeah.
Paris Tokyo, Lupe Fiasco.
Lupe.
Don't do that. He caught me
I
too.
Like Lupe.
Yeah. Lupe's dope.
Yeah, that's a good. That's a good.
That's
track.
A good song. It's
opening. The opening line is "I love her." So, yeah. You know, you gotta respect that.
You spending money taking her to Paris Tokyo.
Paris
come
Tokyo or Come Close.
Come Close.
Come close.
All right, we in agreement. Drake, Best I Ever Had.
I don't know.
Once again, I would say, is it a love song?
I would put that in the category of lust songs. Yeah. Again. Okay. Not really a love song.
Right.
It's definitely an ode to the ladies to make them feel some kind of way, but not really a love song.
How about Wale and Miguel, Lotus Flower Bomb? Dope record.
That's a good record.
Yeah, I could see
top
that.
21.
Too high?
Top
too
21?
High?
Well, I mean, it doesn't seem really like we're ranked. Going in any
well,
real
I'm talking
order.
About too high being in the 21.
Yeah.
I mean, I have to really hear the rest of the list.
Yeah.
That's a good record, though.
No, it is.
No Name, featuring Xavier Omar, All I Need.
I'm trying to think.
Lone's computer is working in his head.
No, I don't know.
Because Xavier Omar is dope.
Yeah.
I can't really hear the song in my head.
I can't hear it right now, so I ain't gonna lie. I can't hear it.
I won't be smirching it anyway. I don't know it enough to say anything.
Childish Gambino, 3005.
Dope record.
Dope record.
Yeah.
You know what else is dope?
Talk to him.
What is this song? Oakland.
I can't place it.
Same album.
Okay. I have to go back and
Red August approves. De La Soul, I Know.
Yeah.
I can dig it.
Can't place it either.
I would put that in there. Yeah.
Okay.
Let's see.
50 Cent Nate Dogg, 21 questions. I'm in on this.
Yeah, I'm with that.
I'm with that. I can get with that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially when you're in a, you're in the beginning stages.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, another generation called courting.
Here he go with his voice. You know, his voice drop every time he go to that explanation.
You know, when you're trying to get to know, you know, a late, you're expressing your intentions towards a young lady, and you're trying to get some dialogue. Courting? Yeah, courting. Yeah.
Okay. So when you're being a courtesan.
People don't court no more.
They don't court.
You know, sometimes yeah, that's, court that's, no we got to get back to that courting young ladies.
Yeah. Courtesans are
stop.
Great
they
people.
Skip over all that.
Just be like, no, now these new R&B rappers would be like, look,
show me what you got for me.
Just from the bike.
Be like, look here. Let me see. Yeah, pull your panties aside before your husband get home.
Straight up.
Like, that's romance.
Let me sneaky link real quick.
Yeah, exactly.
We went from courting all the way to that. Huh?
That's what it is now.
Courting, you have to ask, you know, back in the old days, you have to ask pops. You know what I'm saying? Talk to pops, make sure everything was cool.
You mind if I take her out on a date on the town, you know, I get her home before 9.
Yeah, I'll make sure Roberta gets home
before 9.
I had to find an old school name.
Nowadays,
they'd be like, make sure Roberta get home before 14
like,
o'clock.
Man, forget your pops. I don't care nothing about getting you home by 9.
Come on, Starkeisha, let's go.
You ain't.
Come on. Starkeisha, get in this car. We going now.
I ain't opening forget the door. You better get your chair.
Yeah.
Back then, it would have been like, sir, can I take Beulah out on a date? Come on, man. All right. Jay-Z and Beyonce, 03 Bonnie and Clyde.
I like that one.
Yeah, I can roll.
Top 21?
Why not?
Yeah.
Why not? Okay.
What number is it? Is there?
They don't have one.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Far Side, Passing Me By.
All day.
Yeah. All day.
Yeah, for sure.
Tupac, Do For Love.
What, let's go back to the Far
Do
Side.
For Love.
Far Side, Passing Me By.
You not feeling that?
Yeah, no, I love that record. But
okay, so who's lusting in this one?
Is that really about love, or because the girl keeps passing him by? Once again, it's unrequited love. But maybe,
I mean, everybody's been a teenager in love, or thought you was in love with somebody.
Oh yeah, I can tell you all about it.
I mean, it's a puppy love song.
True.
I guess we can put it in that category.
Yeah,
I'm gonna go love on that one. I'm gonna tell you on that.
Yeah, I'm with that one.
Yeah.
All right. Next up.
The Tupac, dope is Ethiopian.
Do For Love.
Do for love.
I'm a sucker
for
love.
August. He on a roll singing these songs.
You'll try everything.
All right, Bobby.
Bobby Caldwell comes up for the second episode.
Straight up.
appreciate like you that. Embracing that. Embracing
I can,
Bobby.
I can see that.
I like that record. I like that record.
That song is dope to me. Now, I was opposed to
the ups and downs of a relationship. It's real.
I was opposed to the Pac acapellas popping up and, you know, making it into it. I think the album was Are You Still Down? It was a double CD.
Yeah, that was
John B's song, though.
But they had it on that album, I think. It was on that double disc, wasn't it?
It was on John B's album too.
Yeah, that's what
that was the name of. No,
it was the name of the album.
Because Are You Still Down?
Are You Still Down? The song Are You Still Down is not on the album Are You Still Down.
That's what I'm saying.
It's not?
No.
Why do I think it is?
Hold on, man. Because
no, you ain't gotta look it up.
All right, well,
we still gotta get through this list.
Okay, I'd be wanting to try to be factual, but that song is dope either way. I don't know who album at what, but all right, Kendrick Lamar, Love.
Let's put it.
It sounds like Music Soul Child was
that everybody?
No, it sounds like not music.
I would
Dream. It sounds like Dream is saying.
I would put If These Walls Could Talk in there.
That's a good song.
Oh wow!
Yeah,
good call. Good call.
Yeah. Next song.
I'd have to hear. I want to go back and listen to that album. It's been a minute.
Yeah.
Sweet. Feel was my joint.
All right. Lil' Kim and C's Crush On You remix.
That's not a love song.
That's definitely not a love song.
That's just...
You ain't even got to explain that one, Jay Moore. We know
that's
that
just
one.
That's just a
song about interaction between men and women, but it's not love.
Nah, ain't no love going on
I
there.
I can take Come Close. That's
ain't no cuss up going close. On here.
And we can replace that one with Come Close. All right, that's the end of
so
it.
So I can already tell you a few that they are missing.
What are they missing? That's what I was about to ask.
A lot.
Yeah. I mean, if we talking about LL Cool J, he pretty much made the first.
Yeah, we brought
that up, but I need love.
I need love. How do you even have that? This
you cannot
this, honestly,
have this list and not have this
let's entire
get,
list.
I need
is,
love because
let's get the
that
person's
song,
name.
That song pretty much started the whole hip hop love.
That was
song
the first, and you know there were some really bad knockoffs that people tried. Not I don't want to say because. Heavy D did one called Don't You Know How Much I Love Heavy D, but he did one called Don't You Know. Kwame did like Sweet Thing. At one point, everyone was trying to include a little hip hop ballad on there to try to ride that I Need Love wave, and
how
it just
is
did
I need
not
love
work.
Not
that's way
it.
Whack.
Yeah.
And then they got the old school picture of LL Cool J for those that don't see it. Like the picture they have is an old school LL. So you would think that was included. But another old school song that should have been included as well from the same era. It's Slick Rick, Teenage Love. And it's not
nice.
Necessarily all about love, but it is about love, technically, because
no
I mean,
law.
It's kind of like the puppy love type thing and whatever.
I would put Break You Off by The Roots and Music Soul Child in there.
Don't Hurt Me Again.
Yeah.
I like that one. Good just one. Those are both good. How you got LL on the artwork,
you cannot,
bro?
You cannot not include
that should
song.
Be.
That's bad. Crazy.
Yeah.
You got some B-sides, though.
Talk to me, Lon. So, I see you got a notepad out.
So this is, I know there's a play on this. Obviously, you know, I used to love her, but that's not really a love song, right? I mean, it kind of is, but not really. But No Greater Love by Blue and Exile, I always thought that was super dope.
Yeah.
They're
not ready for that.
Because
not ready for that,
it's a play on words, but it goes both ways.
Mm-hmm.
That's super dope. I also like Round and Round with Method Man and
Janelle on the hook.
Yeah. Never been known before.
What about Kiss Me and I'll Kiss You Back?
Oh. There you go.
I don't know that one.
Digital Underground.
Yeah, Digital Underground.
Okay, here's one from a real Pac fans. Okay. We could say, Can You Get Away off of... Off of...
That's more of a... I'm trying to take your girl from you.
Yeah.
I mean, like...
She didn't want to hang out.
He was
on his Kanye.
He
real,
was hitting
real
her.
Tough on that.
And so Tupac was trying to get her away, you know.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's probably the one. If you put that on for women of a certain age, it's gonna make them feel some kind of way.
Lone, I'm with you on Round and Round.
I love
forgot
that joint.
About that one.
I love that joint.
High Tech on the beat.
Yeah,
that's a really dope song. That's a really dope song right there.
The remix. I like the remix.
I run that at Wine After Work often.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You remember when old girl fell on the bike when it was 9 months? She
no, that was Red Man.
Oh, I'm thinking something.
Yeah, you thinking something different, Mike.
You remember
I'll
that video?
What about Child's Play by Ghostface?
Was that off the Ghost Dini poetry album?
No, that was on Supreme
Oh, no,
Black
no, no. Yo, yeah, that's right. That's right. That's right.
You know, it's like childhood.
What about Black Shampoo?
No. No, no.
Mind Sex by Dead Prez.
Nah, straight up. Mind Sex goes.
I was going to say.
No on Black Shampoo.
I feel like, I don't know if I would call them love songs, but Slum Village has so many records.
Yeah.
Oh, Falling.
Fall in Love is one kind of climax.
Can We Get Closer?
That's a good one.
What's the other one? Oh, and Dilla's Won't Do.
I mean,
that's not really a love song, though. But he's being upfront. You know, one won't do. Two is not enough. Yeah. But if so, we can be in love.
Hey. Oh, that song is so cold.
The song that Dilla did with D'Angelo in Common. It's on So Far to Go.
Yeah.
So Far to Go.
Yeah, that's right there.
We just talked about that. What's call it? We was going through the beats. I'm not mad at that either. I still say my number one replacement was Come Close, but I'm stupid because I forgot, like he said, about LL. That's obvious. Yeah, that has to be on
there. Yeah, honestly, not having that record on there just either lets you know his age or that he shouldn't be making lists.
Blasphemous.
Who's the
it's Billboard for starters.
Yeah, okay. All right. Well, who's the author? Let's put them on there just like we did Schwartz last week.
Yeah, we did do Schwartz, so we got to be consistent. Jelani Turner Williams.
Jelani Turner Williams was probably born in 2000.
What does WAP place on this list?
Number one. No.
Yeah, hey, Jay Moore, explain WAP the way you've been explaining the rest of these songs. What's that about?
No, we're just going to move on to... we need to talk to the sponsors.
Yep. Oh, no, Nicole got a good one. Beautiful Skin by Goody Mob.
There you go.
There we go. Good call, Nicole.
What about Prototype? I know he ain't rapping, but...
Valentine's Day.
Kind of.
Yeah.
Matter of fact,
Valentine's Day.
February. We love these. You know what? We're not going to do that.
Yeah. Let's go ahead.
What about Stank Love?
Nah.
Stank Love?
Ha, 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 ha. We love the... Let me...
Or what about Funky Ride?
You got to be grown to listen. Funky Ride got some stuff going on in the background.
Hey, it's nasty.
It got some stuff. All right, Red August. Let's shout out the partners real quick and we can get back.
Thanks to our partners. Dr. Coleman of Coleman Dental is our go-to dentist. He's a longtime Indianapolis arts and music supporter located right in Broad Ripple. Printfinity is a screen printing shop based in Indianapolis, owned and operated by our own DJ J Diff. Our good friends at Indie CD and Vinyl operate one of the best record stores in North America. Shop new and used in their site or visit them in person. And the best way to support the new old heads is to visit our Patreon and become a member for as little as $3 a month. All details on newoldheads.com.
As always, shout out to the chat as well for the dope suggestions. Nicole, thank you for that. And we see the rest of y'all in here. We appreciate you all as always for being with us throughout the show. Appreciate that.
We appreciate.
All right, let's get to the next one here. I think we're in three, the third one. So Brother J Diff brought this one to my attention. And it was I forgot the kid's name. I should have typed it down.
Dom.
Thank you, sir. Do you want to intro this one? Because you know me, I don't want to mess it up. And then we'll go back into the topic.
Well, the premise of this topic is Dom is stating that he paid Benny the Butcher for a feature for an album that he's working on, mm-hmm. and Benny has not delivered the stems or came through on his end of the deal after money has been exchanged. Now, mind you, this was all done through DMs.
Yep.
So use that.
It goes down in the there DMs, huh?
Yeah, it goes down in the DMs. And, you know, on this show, we a lot.
Tonight.
For the record, we have nothing has been, it's not like this is a, you know, huge story. We don't know what, there's nothing from Benny.
This is brand new.
Inside. Just fresh. But the concept is not fresh. Like we always talk about, you know, you've heard us say in the past, read your contract, you know, go over your paperwork, be aware of what you sign, you know, try to get somebody to read it that knows how to read it, if that's legal help, however you want to go about it. this kind of brought back some of those memories, but this time it's artist to artist versus artist to, you know, record label, mm-hmm. you know, and we were talking about post show, how a lot of the younger artists and even established artists think, you know, certain things are binding and, you know, an agreement is an agreement. But when you slide into DMs and you write a couple specifics down, so money is exchanged, that's not going to hold as much weight as a, you know, a physical contract or something that someone signed.
Because rule number one.
What's that?
These artists are not your friend.
Thank
because
you.
Somebody call you bro, cuz, whatever, that's just slang. Mm-hmm. So these people aren't your friends and they're hundreds of miles away from you and you making an exchange through a DM or through PayPal or whatever currency exchange you use is immediate and you're not going to get an immediate return on your investment. You have if to you get it back, period.
You have to think about as well, to his point, there's nothing legitimately binding by a DM. It's just kind of, we're just talking. Everything is understood. It's on the up and up. I got you. And then we have to wait and see if everything comes to fruition or not. And that can be tough for, you know, up and coming artists, because it's, when you go into that from that status, it's like, man, are they going to send it? I hope they send it. Man, I hope they send it. You don't want to blow them up. You want to be respectful.
Yeah.
But sometimes you get so anxious because this feature could be the one for said person that might level them up. You know what I mean? So you don't want to get too anxious. But right. At the same time, I've already put my first half up. I paid the second half. You know, this is the majority of my budget, maybe.
And to put it in context, too, we don't know the exact arrangement that was between two.
True. That's true.
And I don't know if anything was emailed or written anywhere in this particular situation.
Right.
But this is not anything new that's happened. And I mean, I hope that is righted. I hope if this young man has spent this money for this feature,
I agree.
Gets his stems and everything he needs to move forward with this, because obviously he's a fan of Benny.
Right.
Or he wouldn't have asked him to be on a project in the first place.
Got a picture together.
Right. But these people, I mean, a lot of us know who Benny is, but technically Benny is still a up and coming artist in the grand scheme of things. He's just 10-20 steps ahead of a lot of people in the game.
I'd say he's just now getting to the point where he's starting to get his feet up underneath him now, but it took a while, to your point. And he's still not quote unquote.
I mean, he just got signed to Def Jam, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Right. He's just a lot of theirs has been independent up until this point.
Mm-hmm.
And even with Benny, it's like Lone made a point, and I'll kick it to you, Lone, but you made a point about we don't even know who's necessarily running his account. It might be, who knows who runs a lot of these artists' account or who you're actually listening to. Use the analogy of get Benny 3 or Benny 2 or whatever. Right. You remember you were talking about that?
Yeah.
But what are your thoughts on this, man? Just overall, Lone, from the artist standpoint.
I don't know. Like, all right. So first off, I don't know, right? Because we don't know. This is literally just one person spouting off on Instagram, getting super upset. I'm guessing if he's super upset that it's probably true, but who knows how true.
It's always two sides. I mean?
Who knows, and who knows what their deals look like between them, right? Or if there was any type of contract involved, or if he was just throwing it out there. Now, I will say that even if there's no contract involved and you spend some money on some stuff, you expect to get that. You expect people to be solid.
100%.
You expect it.
Yeah. Give them the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah. You know, and so
it's true.
And many of us as artists, and even people that have just moved in independent spaces where you had to work for yourself and all that stuff, we understand what it's like to, you know, invest a little bit more and hope and just assume that things are going to turn out the right way. We understand the risk a lot of times, but most of us have been burnt a couple times.
Multiple, yes.
If not more than that. So, you know, I feel for the guy if this is really kind of a foul situation, but at the same time, like, this is a business, and if you want to protect yourself in a business, then you need to make sure that you're doing good business work, which means that you need to have contracts in place, no matter how difficult or, you know, like, oh, I don't want to draw that. I don't want to talk to an attorney. Get one.
Yeah.
Straight up.
You know, like, it's necessarily, you know, like, if you find a homie that does it, you know, like, but contracts are super important. You know, CPAs are super important for artists if you don't even have, but that's another thing. But you have to have yourself, like, because in this situation, he can't do anything. If he's already paid him the money, it's a wrap.
It's a wrap.
And I think based upon what you said, and I'm kind of looking at it here, it said that he sent something back to him. He just called the vocals weak, and he won't clear it.
Sounds like from the description, the vocals may not have been mixed, and they might have been a little rough.
Or maybe maybe he doesn't.
He wants the stems.
He didn't get the stems. Yeah.
So at that point in time, who knows? Maybe the price that he got wasn't for stems. Maybe it was this. You know, like, because if you buy a beat and you buy a leased beat, you pay $25 for that or $50 for that, you get an MP3. You're not getting a wave.
Nah, for real.
If you want something exclusive, all right, then we can attack a couple more 100, 300, 400, 500, 1,000, depending on who you are.
And if you want it tracked out on top of that,
that's going to be more.
Yes.
So maybe that wasn't
communicated. With that position, that definitely should have been communicated. Because from the DM, it looks like Benny is promising a lot, for this, I
for
guess
$500.
Well, $1,000. I think the total was $1,000.
Okay. We only saw one of the payments.
Yeah, there was
screenshot.
He showed one of the payments, but
he
was in there saying that he's going to help him promote it,
run the numbers up,
to run the numbers up or whatnot, and he had even brought up hosting his mixtape. All he wanted him to do was just the beginning.
Yep.
He agreed to that as well. Now that's a lot of stuff to agree to for $1,000.
Right.
You know, I mean, an artist like Benny.
Yeah, for sure.
But I think his communication, if that wasn't what you were going to do, or if that cost more money, that should have been brought forward at the beginning,
for
rather
sure.
than leading him along thinking he's getting all of this for that.
For sure. But at the same time, in that dichotomy of situation, it is the person who is inquiring on the business to do their due diligence.
That is very true.
In that aspect. So it would have been solid for Benny to do that. I agree.
Yeah.
If that's even the case, right?
Right.
And this is all speculation. We're just going off the limited stuff that we can see. But I like what Terry said when he talks about that's a lot for $1,000, which makes me think something may have been missed during the conversation.
Bro, you getting a Benny verse for $500?
And he's going to do an intro for the mixtape, and he's going to promote it for a G? That's a lot.
That's a lot.
So that makes me think something might have been miscommunicated on the back end or the front end prior to that money being exchanged.
I mean,
I can't see that, or
he's not actually talking to Benny, like you were saying.
That's, yeah.
Like possible. Somebody could have been like, can you do a verse real quick? Or they might even have access to some verses that he has.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they could have sold a verse on his behalf, and he's typing.
It's not far fetched to think that Benny has someone as busy as he probably is now that runs his IG and was like, I've already paid. We already got the bread for it. Here's the first request. Just do something for me real quick.
But 50 posts his own stuff.
Yeah, he do.
Kanye definitely posts his own stuff.
Oh my God. Don't get me started on that.
Instagram DMs seems such a horrible way to do business.
Because the thing is that the person doesn't, or you're not following the person, it goes into like another folder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And like, cause I've
you gotta approve it.
Yeah. You gotta approve it. You know, like I said, it's hard for me to wrap my head around the fact that, Benny, who's a part of Griselda, who had a situation with Shady and who was signed as an individual artist to Def Jam, would be hitting people over the head for $500 for a verse. Something just doesn't add up there.
Bro, that's cheap.
Yeah.
Super cheap.
It's very cheap.
Yeah,
super cheap.
I mean, if you can get a verse from Benny for a stack, we might as well do a whole album.
I'm sitting here thinking like, I don't even have a project coming out, but if he's dropping $500 for a verse,
be a good investment.
You know, if a G,
something, Jack, like I said, something to add up here.
Yeah, if a G for Benny for a verse, hosting the mixtape in the beginning and promo, I don't know. Man.
I don't think Benny is trying to get out of bed to do all this at this point for $500.
I just don't see it, man.
And another thing, too, interesting with this, and maybe you guys remember this, and this has maybe been a year or two ago, but I remember there being some sort of weird scam around hosting mixtapes and verses stuff.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we talked.
With artists, and I feel like Benny's name was
Game.
That was Game.
Benny was a part of that, though.
Was he?
Yeah, he was a part of that. Benny Game was a part of that. Mm. Rest in peace, DMX was a part of that.
But that's probably people selling their stuff for them, I'm guessing.
It could have been.
Because you know the world of leasing verses is out there, which
Redman was in that wave.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I don't know. I'd like to know more information on it at this point. But if I was to give any advice, I'd just say do better. Just got to handle your business better.
Take care of you. Look out for yourself.
And that's not even a shot. That's just like if you're going to be in the industry, like there are people are going to get what they can.
Hey, listen, what Issa Rae say? The music business is the worst business she ever worked in.
Yep. And she's worked in a lot of them.
Let me ask y'all this. And this can apply to everybody at this table. And that could be from a standpoint, you accepting a contract as a DJ, Lone obviously producing, performing, Jay Moore hosting, right?
Shoot, I write contracts, so
yeah, I know you do. But what I'm saying is, we use the example of
not for hire though.
we use the example of Instagram for this young man, right? So if you have a large contract, a fully written out contract that's in digital format, and you send that over via email, right? Mm-hmm. You know how they do the digital sign or whatever, the acknowledgement. Does that make you feel better if you said it, if everything is done that way?
There's a paper trail.
Paper trail.
Yeah.
You got to be able to prove it.
At the end of the day, you got to be able to prove it.
Got to be able to prove it. And then you, not only that, like shouts to Nicole in the chat. You not only have to be able to prove it, you have to be willing to go the distance to actually enforce and to take legal action.
She's right. She's right.
Otherwise,
that paper is no, that paper is no worth no more than your intentions to follow it up.
Yep. Very true.
You know what? I think sometimes people, sometimes artists will do this because they know.
Mike, you owe me a music video, by the way. I have it in contract. Anyways, neither here nor there. And it was a joke.
I think that's hilarious.
It's a joke and it's serious, but it's not even serious.
You better do that video. I lost my train of thought because I was laughing at Red August.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
What was I talking about?
Talking about enforcing contracts and emails and stuff. And
yeah.
I don't know. I was trying to help you.
Say word.
I had a bar too, but I done lost it now. What y'all want to do now?
I don't know.
Bottom line, man, take care of your business, man. Look out for yourself because, I know what I was going to say.
As best as you can.
Artists sometimes will, they know that the young, the up-and-comer might not have the capabilities to push it all the way go forward. So it's like, well, I just do what I can do. They ain't going to chase me. They don't have the money to.
Right.
They can't afford the legal team. They can't afford this, you know, whatever it takes. So I think that might go into the equation sometimes also, too.
Good.
When we were coming up, I mean, what lawyer did you know to talk to 20 years ago?
I knew a couple people, but I didn't know them like that. You know
exactly.
What I mean? So, and I didn't want to spend the money because I didn't have it.
Right. But your relationships and stuff that you develop now, you're a different person if something like that happens.
Yeah, I mean, I know people. I don't have an attorney. I mean, I have an attorney, but I don't have an attorney on file, you know, like ready to go for that. But I don't have an
attorney on retainer.
Yeah, I don't have one on retainer, but I know attorneys.
Yeah.
And I know music attorneys.
Yeah.
And so, like, it's only a phone call. Or a text message, you know what I mean? And I think that's important. Like, I feel like in the longer you go for, and you're in the music business, eventually you're going to want to have that ability to be able to access an attorney, whether he or she is your attorney or somebody you can get. And also, as I mentioned, CPAs too, because you see a lot of these artists out here going broke when they get a little bit of money.
Mm-hmm.
Get an accountant.
It also makes you look more serious about your craft when you have that paperwork on hand. Like my attorney will be sending you over the particulars in order for us to get this going. If let me know where to send that.
Yeah.
And then kind of go from there, because that's going to let you know if this whole situation is legit in the first place.
Yeah. Might just to send it to him like, do I have anything?
Mm-hmm.
But typically, if you're at that stage, you're not going to be upset about Instagram DMs. You're just going to let your attorneys handle it.
Yeah. You know, this era is not now. It's been going like this for a while, but you know, contracts, it'll tell you what type of artist you are if a contract makes you uncomfortable. Because some people aren't.
I mean, don't get me wrong. Some contracts do make me uncomfortable. But it's
me too. But what I'm saying is just the idea of somebody having a business together. It's like, okay, I can respect that. If somebody pushes it to me, I'm like, oh, okay, they own it.
Yeah,
they're serious about what they want from me.
For sure.
You know what I'm saying? I can respect that. But
if somebody's trying to sign me or something and it's got a 219 page contract, I'm like, all right. So
I'm not going to be an attorney if I don't.
When do I have to go into McDonald's and eat 9 chicken nuggets and shake people's hands? Yeah. Like,
you ought to get a 20 piece if you're going to sit down and read all that. Get you some spicy mustard.
What salt? Like the regular honey.
Hot mustard.
What sauce though, Jay Boy? What's your go-to sauce?
First of all, you're not going to catch me eating no chicken McNuggets.
Oh,
I'll eat them.
Straight white meat. Why don't you like chicken McNuggets, bro?
He doesn't like the white meat.
No,
is that? I see what you did.
Look,
there.
When you unfortunately,
don't hurt me, man.
I stumbled into a video of how they're made.
How long ago was it?
Oh, I don't.
1995.
They're made like hot dogs.
Yeah, it's like from this pink slurry.
Slurry?
And then they just kind of constitute it into like nugget form and then fry it.
Great though.
I mean, think about it.
Chicken nuggets do taste pretty good.
You know what? Maybe McDonald's will be a sponsor one of these days, so I'm going to stop now.
So Jay Moore, the slurry is inside all the...
No, I said I'm going to stop now. And you should do the same, Mike.
Man, I rock with some nuggets, man, especially when you can get the 2 for $6 where I might be able to get a filet of fish and a 10-piece.
There's, I'm
fat out here right now. You right.
Wendy's nuggets are better.
Oh,
true.
For sure.
True.
Spicy.
They're super expensive though. Like nuggets. Like you get a 20-piece, it's like super expensive.
You know, because like now value meals would be like $11. I'm like, this isn't a value. I could go somewhere and sit down and get a meal for $11.
You know the times is different when the dollar menu going up. I don't even know if they got one anymore.
Nah, there ain't no dollar menu.
Dollar and some change. Hell, the Dollar General ain't even a dollar anymore. Well, not the dollar store. Yeah. It's like $1.25 now.
Well, that's inflation. That's Biden's fault.
Yeah.
Go Brandon.
Hey, Dollar Tree is the one store they ain't paying us. Sorry. But they'll stick to the dollars for the most part. Be dollar stuff in there.
And for those that think we're serious, the politician that we mentioned has nothing to do with the things rising cost-wise.
Yeah, that's all sarcasm.
Yeah, all the free money that y'all get. Let me stop.
That could go a whole nother way. All right, man. I didn't realize it is now 10:41.
Is it?
Yes, it is. Shout out to the chat, too, as well.
Depends on what you're listening to us on, Mike.
Yeah. Either way, wherever y'all at, thank you. And as for the time, I don't know where you at, but that's what it is.
Yeah. We need you to learn these.
Yeah, I'm sorry. That was a new one. He threw me a curveball. I ain't know. That was third base.
Over.
Third base coach sign. I ain't know, Red August. Thank you. I got that one moving forward. All right, man. That's going to do it for this episode. As always, newoldheads.com. All the education you need this year. You can find anything and everything about us. We appreciate the support as always. I did not say the WWW.
Just
I just did. We'll see y'all next week. Peace.
In a minute.